Okay, let's continue with this. Let's just reread that in verse 8. It says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested." That's why he came down here, that he might destroy the works of the devil. These are all the works of the devil down here. It says, Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. What a wonderful thing. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That is us. That is all of us. We were complaining a little bit ago that it was so cold in here. But I can tell you that they changed something, because I'm sitting up here with the lights and suddenly it's gotten very warm, which is good. We'll all thaw out now. It was extremely cold in here, except for two people. But everybody else, it was very cold. But look at this statement. He says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed," this is God's very seed. That's what the Holy Spirit has done. God has put within you his seed so that you will, at the right time, actually be born spiritually as God is, or spirit as God is. For his seed remains in him. It remains in you. And he cannot sin. In front of God, you cannot sin, because he is born of God. Just like it says here in verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that what we're going to be, but we'll know, of course, when he comes. But right now, we are the sons of God." In verse 1, we should be called the sons of God. Amazing. It's a different subject, but amazing. In this, the children of God are manifested. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loves not his brother. Neither he that loves not his brother. They're all out there hating one another. It's unrighteousness. And so when you see people out there sinning, it's a way of life. Hopefully, brethren, when we sin, which we will, but we're covered, it's a mistake. It's out of the norm. It's not our regular way of life. It shouldn't be a regular way of life. These people live in sin. Their whole life is sin. And you see them as of the devil. You know what people say about the people who are attending God's church and knowing this true plan of salvation? It's one of the things that they all say. Boy, I don't know if I agree with this or that, but I'll tell you, they seem to really have a peace that they've never had before. And there's a joy within them that I've never seen before. And I've heard that over and over and over again about all of our people. And the outside people will go ahead and try to fight us, but they have to admit there's a joy within us. There's a confidence and a hope within us that they don't see in themselves, and they don't see in all the other people that they associate with. We do have a confidence, and we should show that. And we don't have to fight over Scripture anymore. We know what it says. They don't. They're still out there debating. We know. But the world doesn't know God. Never did. Matthew 12. Turn to Matthew 12. Just a quick little scripture. But you can do your own study and find there's all kinds of scriptures on that subject. Matthew 12, verse 34. Christ is talking about these Pharisees and Sadducees and all these other people. He says, "O generations of vipers, you snakes, how can you, being evil..." He calls them for what they are. Evil. "Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." The abundance in everyone else is Satan. And it'll always come out Satan's way. You know, people say to me, "Oh, no, I want choice. I have to have choice." I say, "Well, you really do. You have a choice." It's Satan's world. Satan's given you five choices in this particular subject. Which degree of evil do you want to choose? Because there's no right way. It's only God's way. And that's not down here. You want your little choice? Which degree of evil did you... It's still evil. There's still five bad choices. Sin, always remember this, sin is not imputed to mankind and on mankind. God does not impute sin on mankind. He doesn't do that. You do it. I do it. But God doesn't do it. Turn here to Acts. You know, to understand this about the unpardonable sin, you have to get a whole view of where God is coming from and seeing from His side. Because we've been seeing the wrong side all the time. Acts 17, starting in verse 28. It says, "For in Him we live." This is Acts 17, verse 28. "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." Oh yeah, we are the offspring of God now because we have His Spirit. We have His seed in us. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device." Oh, this is what Satan wants you to remember. We read that in Romans. He wants you to know that, oh, we should worship all these other things. No, no. No, we're the offspring of God, aren't we? We should know that Godhead. And, in verse 30, "And the times of this ignorance God winks at." And He winked at. "But now commandeth all men everywhere to change." Repent. Change. See, He winks at the world. When they don't know, when they're still out there bowing before pagan idols, and in pagan Christianity, I don't know what other word describes that. Pagan Christianity. When they go into these cathedrals and kneel before graven images and make the sign of death over themselves. That's the cross. The sign. Unbelievable. Look at what Satan has mankind doing. He has mankind running around like a bunch of trained monkeys, doing evil and doing everything that would be foul in God's sight. How do you think God looks at that? When he sees his children coming in a place of worship which is absolutely satanic in these modern day pagan Christianity churches, and kneeling down before these things, making the sign of death on themselves, carrying death on their shoulder, you know, this cross on their shoulder. These are his children. Vengeance? Does the word vengeance come into anyone's mind? Because he's the only one who has true vengeance. But he winks at that time. Not at Satan, not the one doing this, but for all of our brethren out there that are doing it, and they're ignorant of it. Would any of you make the sign of the cross now? I mean, not just jokingly, I mean doing that and believing it? Would you like to wear a little cross around your neck? Do you see where Satan took God's very own church and had people in his church wear crosses around their neck? How vile and evil was that? It wasn't a little thing. It was a big thing. Satan will pay for it. He'll pay for it. God's like this giant computer. And the old sins just go ding, 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 ding. It just keeps adding up. God doesn't have a subtract button on his computer when it comes to Satan. He's got a big lever that's going to open up the gates of hell for this turkey. That he has. Guess we could say it's the one-armed bandit on that deal. He's going to pull one lever at one time, get rid of all evil, and then close the door back up, and that's it. That'll be a great time. But he winks at that time. So when you see those gay parades, I'm not talking back in the 20s when they had a nice little fair, I'm talking about these queers, and you see that, God winks at that time. Don't hate those people. We were just as bad in our own sin. Verse 31, because he hath appointed a day. This is why he winks at it. Because he has appointed a day. It happens to be the great last day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Well, that's going to be, of course, Christ. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto, well, just the first fruits. Well, just a few of us, only us good people, he says, hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. And when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he saved all mankind. And the true judgment will happen on that great last day, as we know. The sheep, the harvest, his children, will come into the kingdom of God and live forever in peace and joy and harmony and love. No more pain. But we also know those goats, who are Satan and his demons, are going to be tossed in the lake of fire and burned up in the second death forever. Never to return. You can't come back from the second death. Great day he appointed, wasn't it? He winks at the sin of man now, because he knows who is causing it. That's what we have to get in our heads. When we look at man's sin, we have to see Satan. It's going to make your life happier, more joyous when you see that, because you won't be blaming your brother. Verse 32. And when they heard, these are these people that are listening now. I think it's Paul here preaching. And he's probably the Pharisees, Sadducees, all these other people around trying to get him. So then when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Oh yeah, they mocked. Why did they mock? Because of Satan's leaven. Because he leavened the whole lump, didn't he? The whole earth. So when you say something about God, oh, tee-hee, tee-hee. It's a big joke. Oh, yeah, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Oh, yeah, they were going to bring him into court, too. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. That's why he said the things that he had to say. He did witness of Jesus Christ. And among them were these certain people here. So, you don't care if they mock. People want to watch these videotapes. People want to hear our cassette tapes. People want to read the literature. They want to mock, let them. But sooner or later, it falls into the hands of a first fruit, a Philadelphian first fruit. And you know what? Boom. We had a lady who can't visit us very often. She was here last week. Now, I guess I'm embarrassing her, but nobody knows except those of us in this room. And we all love her. And she's approximately around 85 years old, been in the church for so very many years. Hey, she knew me when I was around 10 years old, 11, 12 years old. See, I can't get anything past her. She can just say, Robert, and then she's got me. So I respect and love her. Keep on her good side. And, I just forgot completely where I was going with that. Completely. Oh, I know. When she heard these things, when she received these papers, she looked at them. She was telling me, I looked at those, and she passed them on to some other people. And she got another one. She read that, passed them on. Got the three light tapes there. Listened to that and went, hey, she called the people up. Give me that material back. You know, this is right. I can see this is right away. She wanted not to study those. She agreed with them. But she wanted to pass it on. But she said, I want them all back because I want to look up every one of the scriptures. So it doesn't matter whether you're 85. It doesn't matter whether you're 20 years old or 16 years old or anywhere in between. It's God's Spirit that has to do the click. You know, there's many out there who are trying to fight us. Some of the speakers are trying to fight us and say little cutting remarks about us and all that. That's fine, you know. Hey, I've been in sales all my life. I know how to be rejected, okay? I know how to be rejected. And I know how to enjoy a good sale. And those don't come along very often. But when they do, you can enjoy it. Well, when God clicks, that's a sale. And we rejoice with everyone who has come to understand this. And the ones who don't, you know, they're out there saying all kinds of things. Oh, this is lies, this is vomit, this is that, this is the, all of that. And they're saying this publicly. And one of these days, God's going to come along and click their mind. Uh-oh. Oh, did they put the old foot insert in mouth deal, huh? Because now everyone knows their opinion. And now all of a sudden, they believe this. Oh, no. And their friends say, well, how can you do that? Well, God has a way of humbling all of us. Every one of us has been through this. And so no one ever has to be embarrassed in here because we've all had to remove our feet, both feet, out of our mouth. And we go, oh, well, come on in and join the crowd here because we've all done that. And we give glory to honor and to God Because he's the only one who deserves that honor. And that's the only reason we're sitting here and understanding this. And none of us saw it on our own. None of us came to a great decision on our own. It's all God. And we all sit here absolutely humbled in front of him. And just give him the glory. It's the way it's supposed to be. Well, God doesn't impute sin. And he doesn't impute sin on the people of this world, this mankind, or he doesn't impute sin on us. So if he doesn't do that, how are we going to commit this unpardonable sin? Turn over here to Psalms. He has more to say about this. And I can see this is going to go into 3, which I'm happy about because I had some other things I had to leave out, and I really wanted to put in. So, let's see. Psalms 32, starting in verse 1. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions or sin is forgiven, whose sin is covered." That's you, brethren. That's me. "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered." We're covered by that blood. "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes no iniquity," or no sin, "and in whose spirit there is no guile." Now, you know, Jesus Christ had no guile in his mouth. In him, with the power of God's Spirit, it never came past his lips, did it? Now, all of us are completely guilty of it and will be guilty of it probably to the day we die. But notice what he says there. It says that the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He doesn't impute this sin. "And in whose spirit there is no guile." In God's spirit within you, in that seed within you, it is pure and it is holy and it is of your holy Father in heaven. If anyone tells you there's a holy Father on earth and it's not the great last day, tell them they're a liar. Because the Pope isn't holy. Pope may be a nice man, but he's not holy. We do have a holy Father. And he imputed and put down imputed. He put that in us, that spirit, that seed within us. And there's no guile in that. And that's what he sees. We are a new creature, a new man. God doesn't do that to man. Satan's got all of us accusing each other and accusing men, so much so we forget Satan's even there. He's just some little guy out there, that's what we learned in church. He's a little thing out there, sometimes maybe he can influence you. No, he doesn't influence you. Comes down with a big ball-peen hammer on top of your head, bangs you and says, "Go over here and sin." And what do? Run over there and sin. Come back to Romans 4. You know, for people who don't know and people who are just learning some of this, this is shocking. Absolutely shocking. Yes, we're taking away your whole satanic foundation. Not God's foundation. Not the good foundation. The parts that Mr. Armstrong was able to give us, those are still there. That's what we're building the house on. In Romans 4, starting in verse 6, he goes through this a little bit. He says in Romans 4, verse 6, "Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Now here God's imputing something. It wasn't sin. He imputed righteousness to a man without works. And if you look in the first couple of verses, he's talking about Abraham. Abraham didn't go out and do some great thing, have all kinds of faith, and then God says, oh, how can I look at what a righteous man, look, I've got to give him something for this. No, he did nothing. He did nothing. Verse 7 saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He doesn't. He doesn't do that. Abraham was told that here is this covenant that I'm making with you. I'm going to have your relatives as the sand of the sea, a great nation and a great promise and a great everything. And he was standing there in front of God absolutely uncircumcised. And yet God says, here is this covenant. Here is this great blessing. What works did he do? Well, he did a lot of good works later after he started to understand this and God's Spirit was working with him. Who gets the credit? God, not Abraham. Remember all those scriptures we've gone through where Abraham, laughed at God? He laughed at God. I don't know. You know, if I was God, I'd have smoked that guy. Laugh at me. But he has a lot more mercy and love in him because he has a plan. He does it right. In verse 9, it says, cometh with blessedness them then upon the circumcision only, or upon uncircumcised also. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He just goes through that a little bit. He said, well, hey, how did this really happen? Was it some act by man? Or was it by the very grace of God? And it was the grace of God that did it. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised. So he received this, and yet he was still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. God does a lot of imputing, does he? Doesn't he? But it's always with good things. It's always with righteousness. Sin is not imputed upon mankind. It is imputed on Satan because he is the one who sinned. Over here in 2 Corinthians 5. No wonder I couldn't find that, because I was in 1 Corinthians. This time, you beat me. 2 Corinthians 5, looking there in 1 Corinthians, and the verse ended with 13. And I went, well, that doesn't work out here with my notes, because I need to go to verse 14. So, 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all. He died for all. not just 144,000. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This is the whole world, and it is also the church. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Because, of course, he was flesh and then he became spirit. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Why isn't that being preached in the very church of God? These other so-called churches of God aren't preaching it, because they don't know it, and they don't believe it, and they don't even know who they are. They don't know the plan of God. They truly do not know Jesus Christ, and they do not know the Father in heaven. How can you know someone if you don't know his mind? If somebody introduces you to someone, you've never had anything to do with them. How do you know them? You have to get to know them, don't you? You have to get to know their mind, how they're thinking. And you say, oh, I like this person. I like the way he thinks, and I can get along with him. But how could you make that judgment until you find out how he thinks? God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses or sins unto them. Wonderful. But he is here to condemn Satan. You know, man has sinned and he will die. That happens to be the law. All men have sinned, all will die. But God does not impute or hold that sin against you or the whole world. When you're dead, you're dead. It's gone. Now you come into his kingdom. See how that works? You can't. There is nothing that a human being could ever do living on this earth, let's say not knowing God, not in the church, for this example. I don't care what they do. I don't care how many times they blaspheme against God. They're ignorant of it. God doesn't impute sin upon them. He sent his Son to reconcile them. He sent his Son to kill Satan and to save mankind. Can any of them commit the unpardonable sin? No. There's no way. How can they? Did Hitler commit the unpardonable sin? Of course not. Was it because of him and that spirit that was in him? Did they kill five or six million Jews, people, all kinds of different races? Oh, yeah. You have the history to back that up. I know. I walked through Dachau in 1967. when the Germans wouldn't even tell you where it was. They were ashamed of it. We finally found it, went through it. I was in the gas chambers. I have a recording of that with the door slamming. I saw it. We walked through the museum there that they had. It was very shoddy at that point, very little. They didn't want to do too much. It's not like it is today. I've seen films on it today. This was the old remembrance. And there was five of us. You know, we're all athletes, he-men, you know, men. We're men. We didn't make it halfway through that. We all had to leave. We all had tears running down our faces. You know, we saw the human skin on lampshades. We saw the pictures that they don't show today. We couldn't take it. It was too overwhelming. That is where the vengeance is going to come. Not on Satan. I mean, not on Hitler, but on Satan. Satan was the one who ground up those people and killed God's children. And he has great vengeance. Hitler, when he comes up, he's going to go, whoa! Well, this is a nice way to think. This is wonderful. This is tremendous. You know, sometimes we take Hitler as an example. And you say, well, Hitler can't ever be there. Yeah, like you were any better? Did you sin? Yes. Did he sin? Yes. Sin is sin. You can put it on the weights and balances. Sin equals, it equals sin. It's not a big sin, a little sin. Sin, death. If Christ was here today, he'd say, come up here. Did you ever sin? Yes, don't lie to me, because I know. You sin? Yeah, you die. Little Adolf comes up. Said, did you sin? Yeah, I sinned. You die. When the penalty is death, who cares who did a bigger or littler sin? Doesn't matter. And if God, well, you know, I know you people. I've been in this church 45 years. I want to tell you something. If he could bring you into his family, he can bring anyone in, right? Because if he can bring me into this thing, he can bring anybody in. That's his power. Let's see ourselves as we were and as we are today. We've all broken that law. Now, who causes sin? Oh, well, my neighbor over there, he causes sin. He irritates me so much that he makes me sin. No, it's not him. Who causes sin? What's in this world? If you really want to know and understand the unpardonable sin, you have to understand sin, and who's the author of sin, and who makes people sin. Not just by me telling you or you discussing it, it's got to come out of the Holy Word of God. It's got to back up. If I tell you this theory, then it has to be backed up by Scripture. Then it becomes no more a theory, it becomes reality. So back here in Genesis 8, we'll just get as far as we can here. We're going to have to close pretty quick. But way back at the beginning, I could use scriptures, which we will, in the New Testament. No, let's go way back here, way at the beginning of time for mankind. See where the world was headed, okay? In, let's see, Genesis 8. Genesis 8. Now, this is after the flood here, okay? It's right after, but it's after the flood. Genesis 8, verse 21. So God looked at all of this. And Moses made an altar, burned the sacrifice, offering rather. He did all that. And the Lord, in verse 21 of Genesis 8, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And it was good. It was what God asked. And it was done. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more any living thing as I have done. Of course, in that flood. He wouldn't do it with a flood anymore. But look at that. He's not going to do it because curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And brethren, if it was evil from the youth, from Noah on, and Noah came, direct descendants and all that to Adam, what chance you think you had? And what chance you think human beings have? It is evil from your youth. That is where that computer chip goes in there. The computer chip goes in, and guess what? You work just like that little program was meant to run. And you have evil within you all of your life. He is the one, Satan is the one, who put this evil in mankind. He is the one who keeps evil going. He is the one who causes man to sin. And we'll be going through some of those scriptures next week, and we'll be finishing up on this. And I'm glad that we're taking a little more time, because there was some other subjects I wanted to go into that make it even clearer. But man cannot commit the unpardonable sin. You can't do it. On your best day, as a human being, you cannot commit the unpardonable sin. Isn't that good? Satan lied to us again. He's the one that commits the unpardonable sin. He's the one who has already committed the unpardonable sin. He is the one that God is going to bring the vengeance on, because he makes all of his children sin. And he doesn't like that. So, we'll have to wait till next week to finish that up. But again, pray for your brethren around the world. Pray for all those sheep who are out there in the mountains, in those little crevices, and there's nothing to eat, and they're starving. You pray that God brings them home, which he will, and that's in his plan. And that he's very gentle with everyone, which he always is. And that he's gentle with all of us, because we need that, and we need that mercy. So pray for one another, and we will see you then again here next week. So at this time, then we'll close.